Miners podcast. I have a very special edition of the podcast here today because it's not just me talking to you. I actually have a very special guest. And that guest is the very, very lovely Elizabeth Wright, who I'm very honoured to call my friend.
Oh, Fred! Hi, everyone!
Now, Elizabeth Wright is an inspirational speaker. She's an author. She's very prolific in schools, but she's also speaking in businesses. And wherever she goes, audiences just get so much value. So I wanted to give some of you listening to the podcast some of that little value and some of the nuggets that that Liz shares. So welcome, Liz, to the podcast.
Thank you, Fred, for having me. I'm so excited to be on your podcast. Woohoo!
Absolute pleasure to have you. And can you tell our listeners a little bit about what it is that you speak about and where it's coming from?
Yeah, sure. Basically, I was born with a physical disability called congenital limb deficiency. And what that means is I was born with missing limbs. So I'm missing half my right arm down to about the elbow. I'm missing half my right leg. Almost had to think about it then. Hang on, what else is missing?
quick check,
just make sure everything else is there. I'm missing half my right leg, so I wear a prosthetic leg to enable me to get around. And I'm also missing a finger on my left hand, and my thumb and finger, or one of my fingers and my thumb is joined together. So I was born with this disability. And you know, I was so fortunate, really, and I say fortunate, and I do mean fortunate, that I was born to the parents that I was born to, because, you know, they kind of left the hospital not really sure what they were going to do, but discussing the future and what potentially my life could end up being like, they decided that they wanted to raise me to be as independent as possible, because they recognized that, you know, we live in an able-bodied world. And for me to move ahead in life, I have to adjust to that world. You know, I can't have the world adjusting just to me. That would be very selfish, I think. You know, it's me, all about me. So Mum and Dad raised me to be really independent. And I think through raising me that way, they kind of nurtured this real sense of self-belief in me that I could achieve anything. And I'm sure your readers I'm sure your listeners, sorry guys, you know, misnaming you there. I'm sure your listeners have realized by now that I'm speaking with an Australian accent. I am originally from Australia. And
I'm sure they'd have never
never guessed. I don't sound like I'm from Neighbours or Home and Away. Not quite. So I was born and raised in Sydney, Australia, and inevitably, you know, I'm Australian. We had a pool in our backyard, and I absolutely loved swimming in the pool. For me, being in the water meant freedom. And so this kind of, you know, love of the water, love of being in the pool grew, and you know, until I reached the age of 13, and I made quite possibly one of the biggest decisions in my life, and that was that I was going to swim at the 2000 Paralympic Games in Sydney.
It's quite a decision to make at 13.
I know, it's a pretty big decision to make, but I even knew at that time that I was going to swim there. I don't know whether you call it intuition or, you know, gut reaction or maybe just sheer stubbornness, that I was going to swim at those games. And I started training at 13. And, you know, I think my love of being in the pool and my seemingly natural talent with swimming and racing saw me achieve much more than I ever dreamed possible. And only 3 years after deciding I wanted to swim at the Paralympic Games, I actually made my first Paralympic team at the age of 16.
Wow.
And so I traveled to Atlanta in America, and I was really nervous and I was really scared, but I kind of went there not expecting much, just wanting to do the best that I could. And in the end, I walked away with my first Paralympic medal, which is a bronze medal for 50 meters butterfly.
Pretty impressive.
I was pretty shocked. I was pretty impressed with myself, actually.
You should be.
You know, I'm very humble as well, so, as you know. Anyway, so I finished After those games, came back to Australia and I started training my heart out for the Sydney games because that was my main goal. And the 4 years passed really quickly, and then my dream, my goal came true. And I was selected to represent my country at my home games, which was so special. You know, I can't even explain how special that is. You know, I look back on videos of me racing and I see the crowd just screaming and yelling, and you know that everyone there is screaming and yelling for you. Wow. And they're behind you 100% of the way. And, you know, at these games, I swam in front of my family and friends, and I won 2 more Paralympic medals in front of them as well. I won a silver in the 400 meter freestyle and a bronze in the 4x50 freestyle race. So, you know, essentially that is that. Well, I mean, that isn't all my story, because this happened 14 years ago. I have done other things since then. But what I do in terms of being a motivational speaker is I use that particular story, my Paralympic journey, to help motivate other people to achieve their goals. Because the lessons that I learnt through my Paralympic journey, as a teenager, mind you, I learnt all these lessons as a teenager. I've applied to other goals, other kind of dreams that I've had in my life, and completely turned around situations to achieve success. For example, in my 20s, I went to university, and in my first year of my bachelor's degree, I was averaging passes and credits, and I decided that this wasn't good enough, and I wanted to pass with first class honours. So I took the lessons that I'd learnt from my Paralympic career, and I knuckled down and I did the hard work. And in my honours year, I finished top of my class, or top of my year, I should say. I got the highest mark in my year and first class honours, almost 100%. I got 96.
Wow.
I know. I was so impressed with myself. But the point I'm trying to make is it took a lot of hard work. And this is what, you know, I go into schools and businesses and I speak a lot about my journey. I use the stories from the Paralympics just to illustrate that, you know, you can be proud of yourself, you can impress yourself, but you have to recognize at the same time that to get to that point, you have to do an awful lot of hard work. I see there being 3 tenets of success, basically, or 3 kind of aspects of success, and that is hard work, persistence, and self-belief. And I think if you kind of have these 3, I guess, characteristics within you, or you develop these 3 characteristics within you, then, you know, you can really go out there and achieve anything that you want to achieve. And this is the main message that I go into schools and businesses with, you know, especially the message about self-belief, because I think when you believe in yourself, when you have that self-esteem intact and you know that you can go out and do things, then the sky's the limit, really.
Yeah, because people often sabotage their own attempts at success,
gosh,
don't they?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, you know, it was just the other week I was down at a school in London, and it was one of the girls actually brought this up, you know, this little nasty voice that you get at the back of your head saying, you can't do this. Are you joking? Why bother even trying, you know? And I, you know, I get that voice still in the back of my head, but it's...
I'm so glad.
Yeah, no, you're not alone, Fred. You're not alone.
How do you eliminate that voice?
I don't think you could ever eliminate that voice. I mean, you know, we live in a world where, you know, especially the Western world, where this particular idea of perfection is shoved in our faces every day, and no one can ever be that idea of perfection. And I think that for me, that is where that nasty voice comes from. But I recognize that that's where it's come from. It's not really me.
Mm.
You know, the real me is, hey, you know what? I have fun with this. I'm going to go out and do this, and I'm just going to give it a go. And you know what? If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I'm just going to get on with life and live it to the full. And I really, really wish that, you know, I think especially school kids could kind of get that message through their head, you know. They don't have to stand up to this idea of what perfection is, but just be themselves, because them as themselves is amazing. So
yeah. And what do you do with schools and with businesses? Do you tend to kind of do mainly keynote speeches or workshops? How do you work with people?
A majority of the work that I do is keynotes. So essentially I'll go in, I've got my set talk that I do for schools, I've got my set talk that I do for business, and I kind of do that. I always allow, and I think it's important for both groups, a question and answer time, especially with the kids. I find it's quite funny actually, because I think, oh, they're going to ask me all about the Paralympics and how wonderful it was, and then I get asked questions like, well, how do you brush your hair and stuff like that, you know. It's more about how I actually do things and how I get around in everyday life, which is fine, because that's a way of education and teaching these kids that, you know, just because you have a disability doesn't mean you can't do these things. So a majority of my work is keynote. Occasionally a school will come to me and ask me if I can do a workshop of some kind with the kids. Recently I did a series of career workshops for a primary school of all places.
Oh, wow.
Actually, it was with years 5 and 6, and it was their careers week, and I went in there and spent the day with them exploring what they wanted to be, and I can tell you right now there's some very interesting career choices out there for 10 and 11 year olds. Some young man had already decided he wanted to work for the Queen's Secret Service. So, yes, I think the Queen will be in safe hands in about 20 years' time.
Brilliant. And you touched on something just now when you were saying people ask you about how do you brush your hair and stuff. So tell our listeners what you've started doing in terms of your videos, because I think these are fantastic.
Okay. Oh, thank you. I'm glad you like them, Fred. Basically what I'm doing, and it is a response to the children that I go and talk to, and basically I call them the How Do I Do That video series. And I've got I did my 7th one yesterday.
I think that was number seven.
And basically it's a way for me to illustrate to people how I actually do things. So I think in my first video, I brushed my hair. I answered that question. I put my hair up in a ponytail. I think I tied my shoelace. You know, they're all things that people with two hands take for granted. But me as someone with one hand, you know, I've just figured out ways to do them. And I know that it's of interest to people of how I do them. So that's really why I've started doing the videos. So,
well, they're brilliant. And where can people see these videos? Because they are really good.
You're going to hit me because I can't remember the name of my YouTube channel. But if you Google for, I think, Elizabeth Wright or Liz Wright Motivates YouTube, it should come up.
So Liz Wright Motivates or Elizabeth Wright Motivates, and you'll find her. Brilliant. Yeah. And you're also an author, Liz, and I've read your book. It was great. I was taking photos on the beach going, look at me, I'm on the beach with Liz's book. Woo-hoo! I know this person. This is fantastic. I felt quite proud. I felt like, you know, the shimmery silver of the medals was kind of rubbing off.
Very nice. You get luck from rubbing my book. It's not Buddha's belly anymore. It's Liz's book.
Liz's book, that's it. But, you know, I laughed when I read it and I cried when I read it. And I know you, but I didn't know that much detail about your story. Yeah. It was absolutely fascinating and really inspirational to read.
Oh, thanks,
so,
Fred.
Can you tell our listeners what's it called and where can they get it?
Okay. The reaction I've had to the name of my book has been just amazing. I think so many people love it. My book is called Ditch the Arm, Keep the Leg. And I'm not going to tell you why I've called the book that. You're just going to have to read it yourself to find out why I've called my book Ditch the Arm, Keep the Leg. And basically it's my life up until my finishing the Paralympic Games. So you actually start from birth. I give you a little insight into what my parents were going through. I give a little bit of insight into my growing up with a disability and the mean and nasty things that my brother did to me. No, he wasn't mean and nasty. I idolized my big brother, actually. Although, no, I won't say. Your readers will have to, or your listeners, keep on mixing it up, Fred. Your listeners will have to just buy the book and find out what my brother did to me to make me claim that he was mean and nasty. But But yeah, and then it kind of takes you, a majority of the book is going through the Paralympic journey. It gives you a lot of insight into what it was like to be an elite athlete, you know, the training that I had to do, the people that I met, the competitions that I swam at, and the opportunities that I had. And I think, you know, if you're really into biographies or sports biographies or disability biographies, or just, you know, you want an interesting story to read, then, you know, it'd be great if you could check my book out.
And it is absolutely fantastic. And just again for the listeners, where can they get hold of it?
Oh, okay. Yep. At www.oodlebooks/Elizabeth. Is that
I
right?
think so. But if they go to
Yeah, if you go
oodlebooks.com,
to
they'll find it
oodlebooks.com,
anyway,
you'll
won't they?
find it. You'll find it. I'm there somewhere. I mean, I am also thinking about putting them up for sale on my website soon as well. So
All
hopefully
right,
that will be an
excellent.
option for people as well. So
And what's your website address?
my website address is www.elizabethwright.net. I have to think about that again. But it is www.elizabethwright.net.
Fantastic. And do you have any final words of wisdom or inspiration for our listeners?
Oh my gosh, I have many words that I could give, hopefully to
You're not a
inspire.
speaker, by any chance, are you?
No, in fact I hardly speak at all. I'm very shy, Fred. No. I know I am a speaker. Usually I get, you know, the walking stick hook coming on to, you know, drag me off the stage. No, not really.
No,
no,
they
not
they all
really.
Want more. And that's how I felt when I read your book as well. I was like, where's the rest? I want to know what's happened since.
I'll have to do a sequel. Words of inspiration. I guess for me, you know, a lot of people look at me and instantly feel sorry for me, but I don't feel sorry for myself. And I really don't think that whatever life throws at you, you should never feel sorry for yourself. You should look at whatever obstacles or issues that crop up as they're a challenge. They're a challenge for you to grow as a person. And in growing as a person, you become a better version of you. And maybe not even a better version of you, but you become really you. You become more authentic. And I think that if you embrace life's challenges, then, you know, life can just be absolutely amazing. Even in the hardest of times, you can have, you know, a smile on your face and love in your heart and have purpose to go out there and achieve. And I firmly believe that we all have this potential to achieve. And, you know, I believe that everyone has the right to success. And I really hope that, you know, you listeners out there, you can treat your obstacles, treat your issues that you have in life as a challenge, and through that gain absolute surety and self-belief, and go out there and, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but kick some ass.
That's fine. That's Phew. Fine. Well, thank you so, so much, Liz. It's
Thanks,
been an
Fred.
Absolute pleasure to have you on my podcast.
It's been so much fun. So much fun.
Thank you very much. And you have been listening to the Happiness Podcast, hosted by me, Frederica Roberts, the Happiness Speaker, and today with special guest Elizabeth Wright. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Fred.